If you're able to, please stand and join me in worshiping the Lord this morning. Let's just lift up everything to God this morning. Our voices, our very beings. Let's just spend some time with Him this morning, praising His holy name. Because we are here for you, God.
Soul awake, almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place.
broken you, Lord. Have your way, Lord, in us. Use us, Lord. Fill us, Lord, by your Spirit. Guide us, Lord. Enable us to do your work, your will, Lord. We welcome you in this place. Amen.
No? Oh, yes. I'll look at you as well.
Look,
that's
at
good,
Steve,
isn't
it?
Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to you on a very cold and frosty morning, but very beautiful. To all of you here and all of you who are online. I'm Sandy, one of the trustees, and it's my job this week to give the notices. I'm sure you'll have heard, but it was with great sadness we heard this week that Roy Connor, who was a minister here in the mid-80s to early 90s, passed away following a recent heart attack and heart surgery. He remained in touch with us for many years, and he returned to preach here on numerous occasions, and he was really important to many of us, so we'll really miss him. And our thoughts and prayers are with Margaret and the family. So I'd just like to pray for her now, if that's okay, and if you join with me. Father, we thank you for Roy, for the huge blessing that he's been to so many, for his pastoral heart and for his faithfulness to you. And we pray for Margaret and for the wider family. And Lord, just ask that they will know your love and your comfort at this time. Amen. And we'll let you know as soon as we hear about the funeral service and so on. That's too early days, really, for that at the moment. Anyway, the rest of the notices, and they are quite long, so I'm really sorry, but there's quite a few, but hey-ho. So, just a reminder that there's a pre-service prayer meeting every Sunday at 9:45 up in the upper room of the extension. And so everybody is welcome, and if you want to know any more about that, then ask Jo. She's not here this morning, but ask Jo Fredericks at some other point. It's really good to see Chris and other people here from Ashley Place, but we need helpers to get them here, don't we? We do. So we just need a few more people who are able to meet them at Ashley Place, which is in Marine Park Gardens, just along the seafront, and walk alongside their very whizzy wheelchairs as they come to church. So if you're able to do that, maybe just once a month, then have a chat with Jonathan Lex, who organises the rota for that. That would be brilliant, thank you. Nick's induction is on Saturday the 25th of March, and it would be great if some of us could go and support him. So we're thinking about hiring a minibus or a coach to get us there, but we need to know numbers, so just let Carla know as soon as possible if you'd be interested in going. And think about Carla and the cafe and so on. I'm sure most of you have been and really enjoyed the food that comes out of the cafe. We really would like some additional kitchen support. It doesn't have to be every week. It doesn't have to be even every fortnight. But if any of you are able to help join that team, that would be give us a bit more flexibility and make things a bit more viable. So just have a chat with Carla or myself if you want to know any more about that. We've had a lovely email from the pastor in Burkina Faso thanking us for the glasses that we sent out last year. That seems a very long time ago that we were collecting glasses. But anyway, they've got there and they've been given out, and the people who've been receiving them are really grateful. So a big thank you to everybody who contributed to that. We've also had a notice about Bognor Churches Together, and I think it's a bit of a relaunch of that. And a new look to it, but that's going to, their sort of first meeting is on Tuesday the 24th of January, that's this week, at 7:30 at the Methodist Church, and again, everybody is welcome. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about CAP, which is Christians Against Poverty. And I know Nick has talked about this before at church meetings and here on a Sunday morning. And it's really exciting. CAP was absolutely brilliant when it ran for a few years, a couple of years back. And it was fantastic and helped a lot of people. So it's been relaunched at the beginning of January, and they're taking referrals. And it's just a fantastic support for people. There are six churches running it, and we're one of them. And Liddy Blunden, who was the original manager, has continued and taken on that post, which is lovely. She's looking for befrienders to help her to support those who are receiving help from CAP. Now, being a befriender is simply that, being a friend. It is nothing to do with giving financial support. Other people do that. If you're a befriender, it's about walking alongside somebody who's struggling, supporting them, praying for them, just kind of being there, really. And it's not massively time-consuming in terms of during the week, but you need to be able to commit to something over a fairly long period of time, I guess, because, you know, to clear debts, it can take months, it could take even years. So if you're interested in that, then come and have a chat with me. Now, I know that Nick asked this before, and some of you, what do I do? I'm being waved at. I don't know what that means. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You're right. Okay, that's fine then. I know that Nick mentioned some of this before, and I know that some of you spoke to Nick, but Nick and I never got together to exchange the names. So I'm really sorry. So if you've spoken to Nick already, please come and have a chat with me as well. Okay, that will do for that one. Amanda, toddler time tomorrow. Amanda really needs some support tomorrow. So if there's anybody who can help out, please have a chat with her. That would be brilliant. It's just a one-off, just an extra pair of hands to help out. And another reminder that there's a Thanksgiving service here on Friday at 2 o'clock for John Lafort. Everybody is welcome to that, and I think everybody is welcome to the creme as well, which is at 12:30. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. So that's it. But I mustn't forget the offering because Carla will shout at me. So if anybody can do things, actually, she probably can, can't she?
Continue our worship now, church. So again, if you are able to, do please stand and join me in worshiping the Lord. If you will remain seated, it's absolutely fine. And we're just going to worship the Lord.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Of every breath we could ever breathe, live for you. Jesus, a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Live for you, oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to the every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that can ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Beside you, open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you.
Thank you.
glory fills the heavens. Your glory fills the earth. Still you chose surrender. You gave yourself for me. God of my salvation, hope of righteousness, you paid the price of freedom, took a lonely cross. Bless the Lord always, bless your holy name. And you saw when you took a crown of thorns, your blood washed over me, and you loved me through the nails that you bore. Your blood washes over me. Amazing like no other, grace without an end. As your word has promised, died and rose again. Bless the Lord always, bless your took a crown of thorns, your blood washed over me, and you loved me through the nails that you bore. Your blood washes over me. You saw me, and you saw me when you took a crown of thorns, your blood washed over me, and you loved the nails that you bore. Your blood washes over me. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord always. Bless your holy name. Bless the Lord always. Bless your song to hear me say it's all heaven's mercy see. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
And we adore you, Lord. Just to stand in your presence is such a privilege. I thank you, God. Thank you for your presence in this place today. Lord, now I pray for Jessie who comes to preach. We just pray that you just speak to us through her, Lord. Give us the ears to hear and the hearts to receive what it is that you have to say to us today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Jules. That would have been interesting, wouldn't it? Good morning. This is a bit new for me. I'm doing it from a laptop, so bear with me for a minute. There we go. It's on. Right, I'm there. I have brought the paper copy just in case all else fails, traditional methods. Oh, yeah, no, you don't want to see the paper copy. You don't want to see that version, do you? Thank you, Carla. You want to see that? Okay. Oh, dear. It might end up being the paper copy, mightn't it? Is that not working? Is it? It's back on. Right, yeah, but the trick is, how do I get my notes up at the same time? Ah, there we go. Right. Right, pretend that never happened. I'm starting again. Good morning. Morning. Right, so, as you can see, so today, I'm talking about something. It's a gorgeous sunny day today, which is kind of... which is a bit of a change, I would say, from the rest of this winter. It's been very, very wet, and my garden looks more like a pond than a garden, than a lawn, definitely. Where we normally walk the dogs, we can't go there because it's just like a boggy mess. So that's not the only reason I decided to talk about somewhere hot and dry, but, you know... we're talking about desert waters and wilderness roads, which is based on the scriptures in Isaiah 37 and 43, which I will come to right at the very end, which is an odd way of doing it, but I will read that at the very end. So we're looking at those difficult seasons in life, how we survive them, and whether it's possible to do anything more than just escape and survive. So, has anyone ever been to a desert? Oh, a few, quite a few people. What was it like? Hot. Okay. Hot. Anything, any other descriptions of the desert for those that have been? Lots of sand. Say that again. Oh, fantastic. A place where faith is born. What about the people who've physically been to a desert? Anything else? Oh, big, brown, big starry skies. Okay. So, yeah, deserts are places where there is not very much water. Defined as less than 10 inches or less than 25 centimetres of water a year. So we're definitely not in a desert here. We've got some lovely... Have we? Oh, this is going to be my challenge today, isn't it? There we go. Some pictures of some classic pictures of some deserts there, looking very sandy. We talked about sand, looking quite hot. It looks quite pretty, doesn't it? But maybe not a place you want to spend too much time without shelter. They're arid spaces. They're places where you probably don't get an awful lot of vegetation. You might get some. The next one. So those are deserts. This is also a desert. So the biggest deserts are Antarctica and the Arctic, and the biggest hot desert is the Sahara. So you can take those facts away. In terms of wilderness, this is a wilderness in America. There's actually a Wilderness Act, or there was in the 60s. I don't know if it still exists, but a Wilderness Act in America. So wildernesses are spaces which are kind of quite uninhabitable. They're quite unaffected by man's hand, really. So there, you're in the kind of midst of a vast area that is quite hostile to man. And this is the lovely Death Valley, which is quite a nice, apt name for a wilderness. 1,000 square miles of wilderness. So the Bible talks quite a lot about deserts and wildernesses, which I'm going to kind of use interchangeably. So if I'm talking, you know, if I'm talking about one, I might use the word desert, might use the word wilderness, but it talks quite a lot. And I guess it's not that surprising because, you know, the Bible is set in an area that is surrounded by areas of desert and areas of wilderness. And it would be like when, you know, there's lots of examples of people in the Bible where they've gone into wilderness areas or they've gone into the desert. And without doing that, it'd be a bit like talking about someone's life story in Bognor without mentioning the beach, or someone's life story in Manchester without mentioning the rain. So, you know, we can sit there and think, okay, well, it's kind of, you know, it's to be expected that they will be talking a lot about going into wildernesses. But it also seems to be signifying something more than just their physical presence in a physical space. So it also seems to be signifying something internal in terms of that those people or that person's life. Something that's going on either spiritually, emotionally, mentally, relationally. So some examples, I've realised I'm using my paper copy instead of this, bear with me. So some examples that the Bible uses of people who have entered the wilderness, both physically and internally, are, think about Moses. Let's think about Moses. So when he left Egypt first, so he'd had this situation, he'd suddenly gone, do you know what, this is who I am, I'm an Israelite, and I'm going to save the Israelites. And so he gets himself into a bit of a fix, and he ends up killing a Egyptian slave master. And then he's like, right, come on, you know, come on, Israelites, look what I've done. And they've rejected him. They've gone, do you know what, who are you? Yeah. So he ends up leaving Egypt and going into the area of Midian, which is like a desert area. And so he physically went there, but you can imagine also internally what was going on and almost what is being represented there. And I think God does this a lot with, I love the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament because God is showing through people's lives. He loves using analogies. He loves using images, and he does it in the Old Testament a lot through people's lives. And he's gone into the desert physically, but he must be in a space where he feels rejected, confused, disappointed, kind of just lost. Where am I? I'm not Egyptian. I'm not Israelite. I'm what I kind of thought I was growing in me. I thought I was going to be saving the Israelite people. You know, he's in a difficult space physically and internally. We've got loads of other examples. Elijah, when he was threatened by Jezebel and felt, you know, oh my gosh, where do I go? Spiritually, he was in a difficult place, full of fear, and he was ended up in this wilderness area. Hagar with Ishmael, when she was abandoned by Abraham in the desert, it must have felt internally like I'm in the middle, you know, a wilderness in a desert. There's so many examples. Jesus, when he faced temptation in the wilderness, and the list goes on and on. Joseph, Jacob, John the Baptist, there's so many examples of people in a physical wilderness, but deeper than that, that there's maybe more overwhelming what they were going through internally and spiritually. So if I asked at the beginning who'd been to a desert, more than I actually thought I would, the hands were up, but it was, you know, it was a smallish proportion. If I asked the question, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up for this one, but if I asked the question, how many people have been in an internal wilderness or desert season, I think probably everyone would put their hands up, or if they were honest, I think everyone would put their hands up of a certain age. And even, and I was thinking about this and thinking, well, probably over a certain age. And then I was thinking, do you know what? Those teenagers up there would probably, if they thought about it, probably put their hand up as well. I'll put my hand up because the reason I'm talking about this subject area, yes, you know, I've got a background around mental health and that's, you know, something that's important to me. But I'm talking about it because I've been there, not just once. I've been in the desert area, I've been in the wilderness, and I've been in the great places too, and I know the comparison is quite difficult. It's a season in life that I don't think anyone can get to the end of life without having gone through. And if I asked you to close your eyes and picture what that time was like for you, maybe there'd be similarities to the physical images of the wilderness that we looked at. So maybe that kind of sense of everything being quite dry and arid and feeling like a struggle, like you're walking through sand or treacle or the rocks on the beach, or, you know, not much growing. It feels quite fruitless, that you're not achieving much, that all you can see as far as the eye can, all that you can see is sand on the horizon. There's not much, it feels quite hopeless, quite isolated. Can't find the exit, can't find the way out. And we can be stuck with a load of emotions of emotionally feeling, you know, alone, distressed. And it could be that it's an emotional desert, or it could be that it's a situational one, or relationships, or spiritual. And it can be difficult at those times to be with people. It can be difficult to see beyond what we're in. It can be difficult to connect spiritually. We can lose passion, lose direction, lose fulfillment. And we can get to that point where we start saying, see this, I'm going to have to come out of that one. We can get to that point where we start saying, why? Bear with me. Is that right? Yeah. You know, what am I doing here? This isn't an ideal holiday destination to stay for a long time without anyone else and without any shelter. Might be a nice place to visit for a day or, you know, in a certain context, but what am I doing here? It's not the place that we'd say, do you know what? I'm going through this season and I'd really recommend that you join me. It's brilliant. We start to kind of think, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. I'm not choosing this. I don't choose this. And it's certainly how the Israelites felt when they went through their season in the wilderness. They started saying, you know, what are we doing here? This place is awful. We can't bear it. They start, you know, we can't live through this. In fact, you know, we'd be better off back home. Where was home? Home for them was, at that point, they were saying we'd be better off as slaves in Egypt than in this situation. And we can start doing that. We can start thinking, I don't want to be here. Do you know what? Maybe what I went through before, maybe that was better. And then we can start thinking seamlessly or not. Next time, Carla, I'll hand over to you, I think. Oh, dear. Still not there. Yes. We can start thinking, why am I here? Whose fault is this? Start playing the blame game. You can internalise it and think, oh my gosh, I've done something wrong. It's all about me. You know, and that can bring you into a really difficult space in itself. I think I'm going to actually just go revert to this because it'll be easier. Um, Yeah, you can look at blaming other people. Who else got me into this? Is it, you know, is it what this, the situation? Is it this other person? Is it God? You know, and we start looking around, and that can be. That don't spend too much time there, is what I would say. It can be helpful to maybe think through, hang on a minute, has something led me to this space? But actually spending a lot of time going, why am I here? And looking for someone to blame, it can end up just with us feeling resentful and angry. And interestingly, those people that I mentioned at the beginning in the Bible who have all been in different types of wilderness season, they all got there for different reasons. You know, if we look at, you know, Jesus and Moses, they were all in different seasons for different reasons and different, you know, Jesus got led there by the Spirit. Moses, he did something that led him to that space. There's all different reasons we can end up here, but don't waste too much energy looking at the whys and the blame and you know, I shouldn't be here. And we can start then going, right, I need an escape. This isn't a pleasant place to be. I need to get out. And we can use, or maybe this is just me, use our own, try and work it out. Work out in our own wisdom, our own strength, how to get out of this awful situation, emotional state, whatever it is. And that might not work. That doesn't work. We try that, it doesn't work. So then we might get to the point of, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Oh, hang on a minute, I forgot. This is me again, maybe. I forgot I should be praying into this. Right, God, I am a celebrity, get me out of here. I mean, I am your child, get me out of here. And that's a really important prayer to pray. I'm not belittling that at all. That is an important prayer. I am a child of God. God, take me out. Take me out of this situation. And there's times that he does. But there's also times where nothing happens. And that's a tough one. That, you know, we can work out no matter how we got here, no matter whose fault it is, we've tried everything on our own strength, we've prayed, and then it's like, God's like, I know you don't want to be here. I don't want you to have to suffer this either. And I'm with you. But you are going to have to go through this and be here for a time. That's quite tough. That's hard. So in that space, what are we left with? Ah, it's working now. What are we left with? Well, I mean, this oversimplifies it, this diagram. It oversimplifies things because I think we can sit there and say, do you know what? If you're fearful, then you've not got faith, or it's trust or fear. I don't think that's quite the case. I think we can have trust in God and we can be afraid and we can be have a little ounce of trust and still be angry, and we can still have feelings of resentment and disappointment and want to be walking away and going off on our own route, and you know. But the little voice that says, do you know what, I'm going to trust you, or I do trust you, that little voice, and it might be a tiny, tiny crumb of trust or crumb of faith. As we lean into that, the other things, the fear and the resentment, start to diminish. It doesn't mean they've gone, but we do have a choice in where we lean and where we focus and where we choose to keep speaking and keep our direction. And if it is that tiny crumb of faith, I'm going to lean into that little bit of trust. That little bit of trust starts to grow. And it might be that we start recalling, hang on, you've done this before. You've helped me before. The times, remembering the times where we've got through things before. There's a song by Lauren Daigle called Trust in You, which I'm sure most of you or some of you have heard. And there is the lyrics in that I just think are amazing. And she sings, When you don't move the mountains, I needed you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust. I will trust. I will trust in you. Trust is a choice every day, and we might have to get up every day and go, I will trust. I will trust. I will trust in you, even though I'm not seeing what I'm asking for. And in that song, she goes on to say, you know what tomorrow brings. We don't. You know, you're stuck in that desert and all you can see is sand dunes. That's all you can see. We don't know what's around the corner. We can't see the things that we can't see. We often don't know the whys, we don't know the hows, but we can trust that God does. He knows what tomorrow brings. And there's a scripture, this with in Exodus. Again, this is about the Israelites coming out of Egypt when they first were coming out. And it says, so when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So he led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. God sees the bigger picture, whereas we tend to see just the road in front of you. That's the most direct route. I'm going that way. He's calling us to trust him despite us being in the wilderness, and trust that we will survive and that we will get through, and to remember the previous times. There's a reason we've got the Old Testament, the Bible, because generation after generation after generation, they told their children, God got us through this, and he got us through that, and he got us through the other, and they wrote it down to remember, so that you can remember, we can trust him. And sometimes we need to write our story down, and we need to tell ourselves and remind ourselves what he did, that we can trust him. And trust that God knows, that he's wise, and that he's good, even in this situation. And that in itself is what helps us get through. So, surviving in the wilderness. Has anyone seen, I don't know if anyone watches any of the survival shows, Ed Stafford? I know one person who does, Dave. Ed Stafford, First Man Out, or Bear Grylls, you know, these survival experts. And so I'm sure you've watched something of this. What's the one thing that you need when you're in the middle of a wilderness? What is the best survival tool or equipment? What do you need? Water. Or a water bottle, yes, to put water in. Yeah. Water. We need water. The deserts, they're renowned for being empty of almost everything but sand, but actually there's growth. There is some growth in the desert. We've got some plants that survive the desert. I was going to bring my son's cactus, but I didn't. So, yeah, cactuses live in the desert. Succulents, prickly pears, Joshua trees, yuccas. You know, they're interesting plants. They're not exactly what you'd put in a Valentine's bunch of flowers. They're very good at surviving in the heat, and maybe that's why they're a little bit odd looking. They manage to survive on little water. They manage to find the little water that is there through their root systems, and they manage to hold on to the moisture. They've got leaves that are specially designed to hold on to the little moisture that they get. And in these seasons, do you know, there's times where we need to manage with little water. We need to kind of, we need to find water. And, you know, we're here in church. We're talking spiritual things, but actually We can't separate ourselves out and go, right, well, we're here for church and therefore it's spiritual. Because when we're struggling emotionally, it affects us spiritually. When we've got something physical going on or relationship going, it affects us emotionally. You know, we interact. We're a, what do they call it? Triune being, is it? You know, we're body, soul, spirit, and it all interconnects. So I can't, coming from a mental health background, not say there are things and places and that we can do in this life to help us get through these tough times. Yeah. Just because you might have a faith doesn't mean you don't need people, you don't need support, you don't need counselling, you don't need medication maybe, you don't need relationship. We need all these things, you know. We can't do it on our own. They're so important. We can survive these seasons. We can survive these seasons. First of all, I guess acknowledging it's a season. Is time limited? You know, go easy on yourself if you're in the middle of one of these seasons. It's the thing is with God. The Bible talks a lot about seasons and seasonal fruit. And what that's suggesting is that there's times in life where we're not as fruitful as others, and God knows that, and that's okay. So go easy on yourself. Forgive yourself and forgive other people, and you know, reflect on the little things, not just the bad things. Notice the good things. Receive comfort, words of encouragement, affirmations, compliments. Receive them. Give. It might be in tiny ways. It might be a smile. It might be an acknowledgement or a thank you. Nurture yourself. Give yourself what you need. And avoid comparisons with other people, with other seasons, with the past. But we are also spiritual beings, and there's promises that God gives us spiritually, because all those things are so important, but there's more. Oh, that's water. So, John 4, 13 to 14, Jesus said to her, to the Samaritan woman, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Water that the Bible's talking about here is our spiritual connection to the Spirit of God. And that goes to another level. To survive these seasons, we need to ask the question, are we sourced, are we rooted in the source of water? Even in the midst of the desert, there's water under that sand. Things survive in that desert. This goes back to what Joe was talking about a few weeks ago. Are we connected? Or when are we connected, and how often are we connecting in? Are we drawing up? We're connected. If we're filled with the Spirit of God, we have the Spirit of God in us. But are we drawing up what is there for us? So definitely listen to this, or go back and listen to Joe's what Joe was talking about. So when we're talking about the Spirit, often we're thinking about, oh, it's all kind of speaking tongues and prophecy and happy clappy and, you know. No, this sometimes it's about drawing up just, it's what we need in this season. The Spirit is what we need. We may have to dig deep in these times and choose to worship and battle to pray and cling on to the tiny tendrils of faith that are keeping you rooted. But we can constantly draw up water to do more than just survive in this season. This next scripture is similar. So on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So if we stay connected to the Spirit in those ways that Joe talked about, the daily ways of connecting with drawing up the Spirit, we are staying hydrated ourselves, but also we are actually pouring out to others. We are actually providing to others. And you might think, I've got no energy to give anything to anyone else. And I remember a day where someone came to me, I said, "Oh, you know, I really need to speak to you and spend some time with you." And I remember thinking, or praying, "God, I've got nothing left to give." And he's like, "Do you know what? That's okay. I know, but I have. And all we need to do is draw up from that supply of water." And actually that supply of water, what God is doing is putting himself, his own Spirit, out through you. So in these seasons, if we stay hydrated and connected to God, to the Spirit, we can actually grow. We can actually grow. I think someone mentioned something about that at the beginning. It's a season where we can actually grow, and it's not growing in a showy way. It might not be the sort of growth where people go, "Oh, wow, you're so fired up. What great works you're doing. This is just amazing, really inspiring." They probably won't notice. And you might not even notice that you're growing, but God notices. God knows that you're growing. It's a bit like the bulb underground, isn't it, in winter? And it looks basically like nothing's going on. My garden looks like nothing's going on at the moment. It looks awful. But it looks like nothing is going on, but there's an awful lot going on that is unseen and unnoticed. That slow internal growth and transformation, developing everything that you need to be able to sustain and grow in the season of fruit. Okay, so the wilderness, it's not forever. God's plan for you is not to live and die in the wilderness. And it's not even for you to just escape or just survive. I'd say don't get too comfortable there. I'm going to invite you to do something with me, which it's up to you whether you do it. But it's to imagine something, but actually imagine in your mind and also in your spirit. So if you would like to do that with me, I'd invite you to close your eyes and just imagine that landscape that we talked about, that we saw earlier at the beginning, just of that desert or that wilderness, and think about what that represents for you. It might be in your life at the moment. It might be in someone else's life. It could be a landscape that you see in your family or families in general, or church or churches, or this town or cities or nations. Just hold in mind what that landscape represents for you and what God's asking you to pray into. And we're going to just think about what God has in his heart and what he's got planned for these dry places, these physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, relational dry places. And you might look across that horizon and see that dry, cracked, barren land as far as your eyes can see. But then you notice a little trickle of water that starts to grow to a stream. And you notice as you look that the ground on either side of this little stream is starting to soften. And small plants, little succulents, little cactuses start to spring up, tiny, low-growing plants springing up either side, one or two, and then gradually more and more. And the stream builds and turns into a river. And as you look across the horizon, you see what was once dry ground starts to become lush with grass and bushes and greenery. And in the distance, you start to see tall trees. The day comes when God begins a transformation of the wilderness. Not for you just to survive or to escape, but he changes the wilderness through a drenching of his spirit into a place of abundance and blessings and victory and power and connectedness and vision and purpose. And Isaiah said, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And as the band come up, I'm just going to pray. God, Lord God, thank you for your promises and your word, and that you know these seasons. You've been in these seasons, and you know the way out, and you know the way to survive, but you also want to do a new thing. You want to do more. You want to transform what seems dead and empty and hopeless into something amazingly fertile. And Lord, whatever all of us have had in our mind's eye and our spirit's eye today, Father, I pray that you would start to do a new thing. That you would start a trickle of your spirit, a trickle of water into lives, into situations, into towns, into cities, into families. And that all would be able to see the transformation. And that we would stand in our trust. Even when we don't see that yet, we would stand and speak this vision into those situations. We would speak it prophetically, we'd speak it into being, Father, which is what you've called us to do. So, Father, I just pray a blessing on everyone who's laid those situations open to you today, Father God. I pray that you'd bless them and encourage them, and that you would just show them what you are about to do, that you are doing a new thing. Thank you, God. Amen.
Church, we're going to continue to worship now. Slight technical hitch there, but if you are able to, please do stand and join me as we're about to worship now. great message from Jess. So let's just pray as we now see. Your eyes to be opened. See what God has in store for us. Knowing that He has great things for us. What we need to do is just to connect to Him. Look to Him in every situation.
Of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Yes, Lord,
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
See you
high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Jesus, 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 I want to see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
To see you. Yes, Lord. We always want to see you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're always there, Lord, with us in the various areas of our lives. We pray, Lord, that you continue to enable us to have the vision, to see you, Lord. Lord, open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that yes, that you can continually keep our vision on you. And now, Lord, as we go about our week, we pray a blessing upon every single person in this place. We pray, Lord, that you fill us by your Spirit, Lord, that you use us. So we thank you, God, for whatever situation we're in. We thank you, God, that you are there with us, Lord. And therefore, we pray that you use us, Lord. Let us be the sort of the light that you intend us to be. In the name of Jesus, amen.